name is Marielle, and I am the founder of Travel Experiences Reimagined, the podcast for travel enthusiasts, wanderlusts, and adventure seekers, craving to learn more about tours and excursions from all over the world through the eyes of a new tour guide or host each episode. Hi, everyone. When you think of travel, what comes to mind? Being open-minded? Learning about a new culture? Exploring a new city? Are you a woman looking to connect with other like-minded women to explore, learn, and network? I'm delighted to have on both Anna and Sandy from Two Peacocks Travel to talk about their unique and inclusive experience for women who are looking for private, curated trips with an emphasis on boundless personalization and exclusive experiences. Welcome, Sandy and Anna. Did I miss anything?
No. Hi. Thank you so much for having us. That's a great introduction.
Thank you so much. Yes, I think you got it all.
Perfect. Awesome. Thank you both for coming on. I love to start off every episode with a little bit of your backgrounds, right? Where have you lived, other jobs you've had, other places you've been maybe, just to give the listeners a little bit more of an idea about the two of you.
Sure. Happy to start. So my name is Anna. I am first generation Latina, born and raised in the San Fernando Valley of Los Angeles. I actually have, just recently retired from a public service career and am pivoting into this new industry of travel. But really, it comes from, a long time of experiences that I've had as a childhood, and then now trying to share these with my, with my children. But more importantly, to be able to continue to help others. I did a public service career with the emphasis of always wanting to help our community, and kind of these things fell into place. It's been something that you don't quite always know where you're headed, but these ideas come to you, and then all of a sudden it just all comes together. And so now we have this Two Peacocks Travel. So that's a little bit about me, and I'll let Sandy go ahead and go.
Well, my name is Sandy, and just like Anna, I've done public service as well, and I recently decided to separate myself from public service. My experience comes from when I was a child. I was born and raised in East Los Angeles, California, and I'm from the inner city. When I was in high school, my French teacher offered me the opportunity to be an exchange student in France. In those days and time, especially when you're an inner city kid, those opportunities practically don't exist. My mom doesn't have the money to pay for a trip like that, but I was offered a scholarship and all I had to pay was for my airfare. So my mom said, "Do you want a quinceañera or do you want to go to France?" And that was really an easy answer. So I said, "I'm going to
France." I love that.
So my experience and love for travel came from that. Once I stepped on to, outside of my neighborhood into a foreign country, it just kind of opened my eyes to how big the world is. I made friends, and this is back in 1987. I made friends on that trip from all over the United States that I still keep in touch to this day. So my love for travel that I passed down to my child started from that one experience that changed my life.
That's it, right? It's just one thing, one experience, one travel experience, might I add, to really change your perspective. So I absolutely love that. I really want to get into your business. First of all, before we get into the business, I have to know the name. Two Peacocks Travel. I know you talk a little bit about it on your website, which looks fantastic, but I want you to talk about the name and why Two Peacocks Travel, right? Why the name and why start this business?
So Anna and I met on an interview. I was interviewing her for a position that I was trying to fill while I was leaving that position. And my job was to shadow her and train her just to kind of get her up to speed with the day-to-day. We worked in a very fast environment that, every day was just changing and you didn't know what you were going to walk into. We were together like every day, and if from what training, it just turned into this friendship, and we had so many things in common that one of the things that we had to deal with a lot was with patients trying to sneak in their support animals into the hospital. And we used to laugh because we used to think, oh my God, what's next? We read an article about a woman who took her support, emotional support peacock on the airplane. And we just started laughing because at that point, Anna and I were really providing support for each other day to day, in and out of our work. And we just started laughing and we called each other peacocks because we were each other's support, emotional support animals. And so then we've been calling each other peacock since then. So now here we are, two peacocks travel. I couldn't think of another name. And I think Anna, she's the one that, you know, thought of it. She just has this image of two peacocks doing all kinds of stuff.
We envisioned, you know, after all the, you know, the in our former, you know, career and experiences, there's so many things that happened. And, you know, like Sandy said, we had so many things in common. And once we started kind of just going through it, I just started having these, I could picture two peacocks and what they were wearing. And, you know, we started going to different places. And I just said one day, I'm like, you know what, we're the two peacocks that travel. And from there, it just blossomed into this, you know, beautiful idea that not only do we get to enjoy, you know, the what we love to do is to travel, but we get to share it with our family. And now we even found another way to continue to help, you know, the next generation and giving back. So it just from one small, you know, experience, it just blew up into this big idea.
I love that. First of all, I do remember that story a couple years ago, which I think is hilarious, but I love that really made a name for yourselves, right? A story like that made a business name, right? So I love how that came to fruition. And so I'm really excited to talk about what the two of you offer. Logistically standing, in terms of your tours, what can somebody expect and what is included in each of your tours, right? Like, does it include accommodations? Does it include tours? Does it include food? You know, what are you including in that people can get really jazzed and excited about?
Yeah, I mean, we're happy to be able to put something together that we started off by what we enjoy. What do we like to do? You know, we like to be able to have experiences that take your breath away. We like to be able to enjoy the cuisine and really experience, be in the middle, be immersed in the culture. And so for us, it's really focusing on giving an experience that's transformational. And the reason we focus on that is because we know travel can create a lot of opportunity. And there's different types of travel, right? There's travels that, you know, you want to go on a hop on and hop off bus because you want to be able to go to different places, you know, in a short amount of time. We don't like to do the hop on and off, and not that there's anything wrong with that, but we want to be able to sit down, have a meal with locals, have conversations, you know, enjoy the music, enjoy like what their daily habits are. But more importantly, that we can share this with other people, because we get into, you know, like I said, we've had our careers, we get into the routine of things, it's breaking out of that mold. And so coming on a trip with us, it's not going to be the regular 9-to-5 idea of travel. It's going to be very curated, unique experiences that we've highlighted, you know, areas that we've already experienced. It's not something that we just looked up on the internet and said, oh, that'll be a nice place to go. We've actually experienced it and we know how it made us feel. And, you know, the moments of, you know, taking your breath away or the memories that you're creating that you'll always have a good laugh about, or that you'll remember, you know, a tradition, something that you lived, and that we provide it as an opportunity for other women, you know, I don't want to say just like-minded, but just women in general that maybe don't always understand how much travel can impact them.
Sure.
You know, the accommodations will be included. There are a number of meals that will be included, but we also like them to go out and explore for themselves. We will put them, you know, the location of our the accommodation happens to be a place that's of historical value. It actually is it's composed of two 18th century palaces. So if you can imagine going to another country, staying somewhere where there's history that comes to life, that makes it very different. You know, and it's centrally located where you can go into the city and have your local restaurants and have the food and the music all going in the city that is kind of like, I want to call it like a labyrinth. You know, you from one little street meets into another little street and it takes you into these shops and you get to explore, you know, and then along with that, we always try to focus on, you know, where are the common places that people are interested in, but more importantly, what are the unique places that people haven't even heard of? So for us, you know, we've confined, you know, historical sites that we can take them and we won't be able to have all of the history, but we're able to find folks that can give us that local taste of everything. You know, it's really the we don't look at people as tourists. We look at them as travelers because I think we're all on a journey. We're at different stages of our lives. And I think, you know, giving them the opportunity to have, you know, to share this, is just another, you know, part of their journey. So for us, it's really important that we give that experience for them to immerse.
Sure. And I appreciate that you said that. I love calling somebody really a traveler, not necessarily a tourist. I, of course, interview lots of tour guides on here, so I naturally think of tourists, but I appreciate the perspective of being a traveler, not a tourist, right? And really getting into local hidden gem, unique experiences.
Yes.
So I really kind of want to segue into that, right? When you curate these incredible, you know, tours and accommodations and trips for people, when you talk about unique things or hidden gems, like what are some, maybe you can name 3 to 5 of them. What are some unique things that you offer on these, you know, incredible trips for people that they wouldn't think to Google or find on their own?
Well, first of all, you know, one of the main things we want to emphasize is that our trips are not the kind of trips that you're going to come home and you're going to be completely exhausted. You know how they say that you need a vacation after your vacation?
Yes.
Because we really walk 26.8 miles, you know, in a week, right? So we try to incorporate self-care. So, for example, in one of our days, we are doing a trip to the local mosque, which is a huge, huge center place in Cordova, but we also treat the ladies to a spa in an ancient Arabic bathhouse. So it's history, it's experiencing something from the past, but at the same time, it's self-care. So you get to enjoy all three of them. We're not trying to beat these women down with history. The reality is you're never going to see everything in a city or a country unless you live there. And even then, I think people don't get to see everything. We're from Los Angeles. And believe me, there's a lot of places we've never been to. So we're trying to just concentrate on some small areas that have a lot of meaning. And at the same time, taking it in. So there is some kind of transformational experience. Oh, I went to the mosque. It was beautiful. I felt something alive inside of me, et cetera, et cetera. So that's where we are curating these trips that are going to be specific. We want to make sure that women are not afraid to come out and say, put on a bathing suit to go to these bathhouses, because this is not a photo shoot, right? This is about self-care and self-growth. So those are the very, some of the things that we do for the trips that we're doing. And then I have some other examples as well.
You know, another one, you know, part of the thing, you know, we talked about trying to find those hidden gems. You know, there are so many times, you know, that I, as a child, traveled with my mom to the southern part of Spain. And it's funny because I could say that I've been there forever, you know, but yet this most recent time that I was there, I discovered so many new things. And for us is to learn, you know, that traditional is great until you discover something that's outside of the traditional. And so for us, you know, being able to see how the, you know, their culture, that we, you know, they're having dinners, their dinners are not at 6 p.m. like we're used to. They're used to, they
yes.
dinner at midnight, you know. And everybody drinks, you know, a vino tinto de verano, or they drink, you know, the sangrias, or they have, you know, the curated beer. I mean, it's a very different experience when you are living it with locals. And so for us, we have the opportunity that we have people there locally to open up their homes and have a home cooked meal with flamenco dancers and guitarists, that you'll have a private dinner. You know, you normally have to, you know, we've seen that you can go to a restaurant to do this, but what better way to do it in an intimate setting that's specifically just for you inside a historical bathhouse where you normally wouldn't think that that would happen. I mean, that to me, you know, we were able to expose our children to that. And that for them was very, it was a little bit of, can this really happen inside here? Because we actually walked into this bathhouse and it was all, you know, set up for us with dinner, and they were coming, you know, with a specialized meal just for us. And then they came out with the dancers, and they even invited our kids to dance. So it's one thing to see it, to hear about it, but to actually do it, that changes the perspective.
100%. I love how unique that is and so different. And that's certainly not something you would find, I'd say, on TripAdvisor or Google or Get Your Guide or any of those sites, right? That's something that I feel it has to be so connected to somebody and know someone to even find that, right? Yeah. So I really love that you hone in on those types of experiences. Another question I want to ask, on your website, you've talked about how the two of you have kind of rolled with the punches, right? You've kind of been through it all in your life. Name me some hiccups that you've been through in, I'm going to say travel, right? That maybe you've traveled and you've had an issue or a problem, and how did you solve that? So people can feel really comfortable around the two of you to know, like, if there really is a problem, you kind of know how to get them out of it, right?
Well, I'll get started. Well, we had a couple of hiccups, but at this summer's trip to Spain, we got COVID. And we had lots of trips, like weekend trips planned. We had bought train tickets. We had Airbnb set up. We had the whole thing was planned, of course, ahead of time. But we slowly came to realization that one had COVID, and just like dominoes, we all fell. Immediately, Anna and I, because of our experience and where we come from, we're disaster mode ready. We're ready to go. So we called the Airbnb owner. We extended our stay there. We changed our train tickets. We were like within an hour or two, we already had redone the whole plan, just because we knew we couldn't travel, not only because we had COVID, but we were really sick. And we just needed a couple of days to recoup. And we did. And we all pitched in. We made food. We cooked, you know, the good old chicken soup to help each other out. The owner of the Airbnb was very, very nice. He offered help or medication. We also had friends and family around the corner that were able to help us as well. So, you know, we're very friendly, and we make friends with everybody. My mom says that I can talk to palm trees and they'll become my friends. So before you know it, I'm talking to people. People are like, oh my God, you got COVID. Oh my God, let's just help you. They brought us cakes. They brought us, what are they called? Tortillas, which is like a omelet. I mean, it was just, we were inundated with food, medicine, love. I mean, it was just amazing. And we recouped, we packed, and we moved on. And of course, when we moved on to Malaga, which is a southern part of Spain, where I was giving the wrong directions to my peacock here, and we got pulled over by the police. So I'll let her explain that one.
Oh my. Yeah, so, can't wait to hear this.
So just to go back a little bit on the, when we got COVID, you know, in addition to creating our Airbnb into a whole hospital setting, because we had to have everybody in separate rooms, we quickly were able to also find like the local hospitals, the clinics, everything. So just in case anybody needed, we were ready to go to that. So when we talk about being prepared, we go from A to Z. We can do that, you know, in a matter of a couple of hours. But, you know, as Sandy was bringing forward, you know, our experience going driving to Malaga was, we, you know, because of the situation that happened with COVID, we were going to take a train. And we did, you know, at that point, we had to switch things around. So we canceled everything. So by then, we no longer had trains, but we were all negative, and we still wanted to go. So we just thought, how do we get there? Well, let's just rent cars. And so I have very limited experience in driving stick shift. Sandy has a little bit more than me, but we looked at each other. We're like, we can figure this out. We can, you know, I'm sure it's like riding a bike. It'll come right back to us. So we rented some cars, and we took our families. There was a total of six of us, and we drove all the way to Malaga. And so we read Spanish, we speak Spanish, we can communicate in Spanish. But what we didn't do so great was that we missed some of their signage, their traffic signs. And in Spain, there's always in every city, there's always like a center. Okay. And in the center is always like, you know, surrounded by the shops and the restaurants. And in the middle, there's like this beautiful fountain. Well, in one, we were following the GPS and we needed to go pick up our keys from the Airbnb, and the office was located in the center. But neither one of us really realized where it was that we were following the GPS. Well, what happened was that we got to this one street and it kept saying turn right. And so I'm looking at a million signs that were there. None of them seemed to me like don't enter. They kind of had all kinds of signs, but none of them said to me don't enter. So I turned into it, and my daughter was my co-pilot that day. And she looks at me and she says, Mom, these are really nice streets. And I said, yeah, they are. But, you know, it's very common that the streets are so narrow everywhere that it didn't dawn on me that we were driving on streets that were not drivable. They were supposed to be only for pedestrians. And I told my daughter, call Sandy, see where she's at. Because at that point, I was just trying to figure out, don't hit any of the people that are eating on the sides. And just keep going, because it's eventually the GPS is going to lead me to the office of where I have to pick up these keys. Well, it didn't get that far. When I saw the fountain, I knew exactly where I was and realized this was a mistake. And so my daughter, in her wisdom, says, Mom, there's a police officer. Let's ask him for help. Well, needless to say, he was not very happy to see us. And at that point, when my daughter got in touch with Sandy, she's explaining what happened. And Sandy goes, oh, don't worry, I have a police officer standing right here. And so those two police officers were so upset. They're like, there's two of them that are driving in here. We can hear them on the radio.
They were talking on the radio. We can hear them talking about us, that there was two of them in the center. And I just couldn't stop laughing because I'm thinking, oh my God, I need a drink. But they made us back out.
Yeah. At that point, you know what it was? It was just explaining what had happened. I did, you know, we don't get nervous in these situations. It's not something, one thing that we told our kids is like, you know what? We just make things work. Everything happens for a reason. This was something that, you know, it just happened and we fixed it. So Sandy was asked to reverse all the way back. I was allowed to turn around in the middle of the fountain and come back. But we had a good laugh. I mean, you know, it happened. It is what it is. We eventually found our Airbnb keys and we got to our place and then we all enjoyed. But, you know, those situations, those are experiences that at first you're kind of thinking, oh my goodness, how am I going to get out of this? But, you know, our personalities are very much like, okay, we pivot. What's plan B? We figure it out. We will always bounce back from whatever. And at the end of the day, as hard as it may be, you know, there's always going to be a silver lining to it. So for us, it's always looking for the positive side, pivoting, learning, okay, we'll figure this out.
100%. And really, it's not how you fall, it's how you get back up, right?
So absolutely.
I think there's nothing wrong with that. I think we all learn, we all have our own travel stories. And at the end of the day, it is a story, right? It's something to, in the moment, it could be a little like, whoa, but then you laugh about it, right? That's like anything. So
absolutely.
I love that you did that. I actually, you know, speaking of talking about hiccups and how you've overcome things, I love that a big emphasis for you seems to be it's also safety, right, and security and making these women feel really safe. One of the things I love on your website is you have a resources page, and I love how you break it out. You break it out essentially as, you know, passport information, emergencies, preparing, and additional resources. I don't see too many people add this, you know, maybe travel agents-ish add a little bit on the bottom of their pages. But in terms of what you're doing, right, curating these group tours for people, I don't typically see that. What made you even want to add that to your website? And how do you think that should benefit somebody who is traveling, whether it's with you guys or just, you know, in general?
So between Anna and I, I'm the more let's do it. Anna always wants to make sure that we've got the A to Z, you know, everything covered, which is why that page exists. And again, back to where we come from and what we were doing, we always had to have some kind of resources in case of an emergency. But I think that it gives peace of mind to some women who have never, ever left the country. A lot of people that we've come across say, oh my God, but how scary. Aren't you afraid? And I can think it's like, afraid of what? But I could understand that so many people are hesitant in traveling because of the news. Really, if you think about the news, scare people. Don't go to Mexico. You're going to get shot. And you're like, oh my God, that's horrible. Like, don't go to Colombia because there's drug dealers. Like all these things that you hear. But you know, it's going to keep people from visiting, but we only have this life. And I believe in going to a country and saying, you know what, I went to that country, I'm never going back again. It was not a great experience, but at least I experienced it and I know firsthand. I can't live my life having people tell me where to go or where not to go. But our plan was to give the women peace of mind that we've got all the bases covered in case of an emergency. That's what that whole resource page is for, to make sure that they know that we're mothers, we're daughters, we, you know, have loved ones that want to make sure that we come back in one piece and that we are healthy and that we can continue planning for the next trip. And that is our goal, to make sure that the women are happy with the experience, that they want to go back to the next adventure, and so they can grow from all these experiences.
I agree with that. And, you know, it's so funny, throughout my life too, I remember I was traveling to Italy and everyone said, oh, in Rome, they're going to pickpocket you. And so many people told me this, right? And I went and it was totally fine, right? People, I've been to Southeast Asia, people have questioned if it was safe. I can tell you it's probably safer over there than I am in this country, right? So I think unless you go there and experience it yourself, you'll always be afraid, especially the news and media. They just hype things up even more. So I really love that messaging and how you said that. I really, I just really appreciate that. And another question I have for you, you talked earlier about transformational, you know, how you want people to walk away feeling transformed, right? What are you doing throughout the trip that is transformational, right? Of course, you mentioned that one experience about kind of self-care, spa, history, but what else are you doing that can make someone feel like they've transformed, quote unquote, themselves? Are you doing workshops? Are you just influencing affirmations? Like, what are other things that you're doing to give these women confidence and to transform themselves?
Thank you for asking. You know, it's really important that one component, you know, travel is great. Being on the journey is great. But one of the things that Sandy and I have discovered, you know, we've had many years, you know, professional development, but then, you know, in the last maybe 5 or 6 years, we really honed in on personal development. And so for us, we've seen the transformation that, you know, that we've each individually have had. And it's always been by, you know, someone else that has, you know, lend a hand with showing us a different way of looking at things, a different perspective. So for us, we realize how important it is to someone's spirit. And the way that we see transformational is, you know, coming out of your comfort zone in a safe manner. But first, before you even physically are able to do this, that you can actually be okay with yourself. Because a lot of times, you know, there's a lot of things that take place externally, but we don't realize that the change really has to be from coming from within us. And so for us, it is doing those affirmations. It is putting together themes of, you know, an event that can put together a workshop. One of the things that we are big on are vision boards. We started doing vision boards about maybe 6 years ago when we started personal development. And we really realized how much it impacts when you have something in front of you on a daily basis. When you do, you know, your affirmations on a daily basis, you really realize the impact words and images have on individuals. So for us, is putting together, you know, I'm not going to say that they're full-on workshops that's going to take 8 hours, because we want them to transform by being already at the place, but giving them a little bit of a head start or a little bit of a, you know, an initiative to understand, like, what else is possible for them. You know, them being already in a different country and them being surrounded by other women that are going to support their vision is going to be part of that transformation. You know, they're going to walk away with maybe, you know, having a different sense of who they are, walking away with new friendships, walking away with memories that they will have for a lifetime. Like Sandy said, you know, we only get this one life. This is not a dress rehearsal. We get to experience it. So for us, it's finding the things that have helped us transform and sharing it with the other women.
And also, we've experienced when we travel and we meet people, women are just, you know, people in general want to share. They want people to hear and listen to them. So I can assure you, one woman will say, oh, my husband wasn't very happy that I came on this trip. And mm-hmm. the others are just going to jump in, have an opinion, you know, be able to bond on the same topic, to be able to be compassionate and say, you know what, the same thing happened to me, but this is how I handled it. You're not crazy. You're not, you know, this is nothing wrong with you traveling. So all the stories and the struggles of being a woman will come out. If you're first generation, and you know how scared you were traveling, if you're the first one to graduate from college, that's another thing we can share, that you just got divorced. Plenty of women are getting divorced. So I think that not only will the transformation will come from doing our vision board so they can envision what they want their life to be, but also bonding on topics that are usually taboo, on topics that, you know, that are questionable, but you can't find them. Menopause is one of them. So I think that as we go, each group is going to be different with different needs and different topics, but it's about bonding and really coming together to talk about what brings us together and what we have in common.
I love that. I love that. I think you hit the nail on the head, right? I think a lot of women want to be seen and heard. And we all know the struggles, right? Whatever situation is, you can find common ground with somebody. I've always believed in that. I think some people may not think that, but we're all human. We all go through very similar things. And if we express ourselves and we can feel open and comfortable, we grow that bond, and it just creates an experience that makes it so much more memorable than you can ever imagine. So I love that you bring that out in people in the best way possible. I have a couple more questions before we slowly-ish wrap up. My first question is, when it comes to travel, right, how are you supporting local people when you travel, right? Whether it's a tour guide, right? Got to bring up tourism a little bit. Tour guide, whether it's a restaurant, whether it's shopping, museums, like whatever it is, what are some ways that you look to support these local people when you travel and on your group trips?
We've always had great opportunity to find, and it kind of just happened, you know, I guess this is the best kind of travel. When you go in and you immerse yourself with the locals, you start having conversations. And as soon as you start talking, they'll say, oh, I know someone that has X, Y, and Z for you. Or you know what? You can go to this restaurant. They have really good food and it's homemade. You know, or, you know, we have the dancers. They're from the children that are from the school, the local schools. So because of the type of experiences that we're putting together, we've had a lot of connecting and networking with the locals that we can be able to go to Uncle So-and-so's restaurant and enjoy a nice meal together. Or that we can hire, you know, you want to call them a tour guide, you know, but like for us, it's someone that's local and can give you just a breadth of history and, you know, along with, you know, their traditions that can just take us. It doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, like I mentioned before, like a specified bus. It's just, it happens to be someone that lives there and can tour us around. But, you know, when we look at, you know, even like for us to put together the social program, the social and cultural immersion program for the next generation, we have the local schools that we can offer, you know, to have the kids attend there and support the teachers and the academics, you know, role in their city. So we've been very fortunate that we, through our travels, we've made these connections. And, you know, these are connections that have been longstanding and that we're, you know, that they can offer us, you know, more if we grow and we meet other people. But that's, you know, for us, it is very important that we connect with locals and support them.
That's great. I love that too. I think when, you know, again, this podcast, I interview tour guides and people in travel from literally all over the world. And I always love people who just really know their stuff and know local places and can really tell people about it, right? That's how we learn through communication. And it's not the history part where you memorize, you know, in 1797, right. You know, it's not like factual in that sense, but it's learning about local places and hidden gems through local people that you wouldn't just be able to find through Google or Yelp or any of those type of spots. So I love that. And my next question to you both is, one of the things I love is how you donate a percentage of every single trip that you do to Latina students 18 or over to travel the world. I get a sense, I believe it's Anna who said it earlier, that it helped you go on your first vacation, right? So what donations or scholarships or grant programs are you donating to allow this for people to have the opportunity to travel?
Sandy was the one that got to go to France as a teenager. I was, you know, a teen mom. And I remember, you know, feeling like, okay, once, you know, I have family and I have to just stay on this path, there was nothing, you know, I was going to raise my family and go to work and do all that stuff. But we realized that we want to be able to share with other Latinas that it's an, you know, one situation in a life does not define the rest of it. And so when we are able to share and explore and open, you know, a window to a different way of living. So for us, you know, having been able to give back to the next generation is really important, because although we had different, you know, upbringings, at the end of the day, we want to be able to empower the next generation to understand that there's a whole other world that they can discover on their own, regardless of their current situation, where they started, or you know, where they even want to go, that they can experience something very different. So for, you know, being that we have our backgrounds in public service to give back, this is our way of continuing to give back specifically to our community, where most of the time, sometimes they don't have the resources. As Sandy mentioned, you know, her mom didn't have the resources to be able to send her to France, yet the school was able to sponsor her and how that changed her life. And we want to be able to pay that forward. And this is why, you know, whole idea started with being able to share this and, you know, at the same time and do it while we're, you know, do what we enjoy doing, traveling.
So my son missed his senior trip because of COVID. So I called Anna and said, hey, Anna, I know you have family in Spain. Can I send my son to your families? I wanted to just kind of, you know, shove him over there for a couple of weeks. And then it went from that to, well, then why don't we go and join the kids, and we take the kids. And so it went from 2 weeks to 3 weeks to 4 weeks to 6 weeks. And then we were saying, we want to bring more kids back, but of course they can't, a lot of the inner city kids won't be able to afford this. Let's get some sponsorships. A lot of companies now are doing diversity inclusion. We want to go and talk to them, but that takes time. And we really want to get the ball rolling. So we decided, what do we love to do? We love to travel. So we'll travel and we will donate a percentage of the proceeds to sponsor some kids for the next summer trip to come about while we're waiting for grants or for sponsorships from some major companies to help with the other chunk of kids we want to take. But that really is how it was all born.
I love that. And Anna, I love what you said too about your circumstances, right? I think everybody listening to this podcast, I'm sure, is maybe going through something, has been through something, and they know it could be a struggle, but that doesn't need to define your story. And I love that you can go through something and then change your way, right? Change the narrative, change the arrow, right, in a different direction. So I really love that. And what the two of you are doing is incredible, to give students opportunities, right, to travel and see the world. Because so you're both right. A lot of people cannot afford it. It can be really expensive. There's a million reasons why people won't travel, can't travel, unable to travel. But to give people opportunity is something that is so hard to come by. And the fact that the two of you are moving the needle to make that difference, I think, is just a really beautiful thing. And I have one more question before I really wrap up. It's a question I love to ask at the end of every episode, but I'm going to word this a little bit different. How do you want people to feel after they experience your trip, right? Or, you know, their transformational progress with you both? Because it's not necessarily going on the trip, which, yes, you transform when you travel and you change. But how do you want people to feel when they walk away, right? How do you see people implementing what they learn on the trip to use toward their everyday life?
And I'll answer. I'm sure Anna has her response, but I want the women to be energized. I want them to be happy, and I want them to feel like they can't wait to go on the next trip. A lot of the times when we go on vacation, we don't come back like that. We come back exhausted and broke and, you know, and thinking about unpacking. But we do it because it's with our families and, you know, that's what we do. But these trips are for the women, for themselves. So we want them to make sure they come back thinking, wow, what an experience. I feel like there's more in there for me and I want to explore it. So it might not include another trip for them, but it might include getting some coaching or joining a gym or going to a group therapy or whatever it is that they feel that they were afraid to move forward or to step into, that they have some kind of courage to say, you know what, this is the beginning of the new me and I'm going to go ahead and do it.
So for me, I want to say that I want the women to walk away with the feeling of empowerment, connection, and awareness. It's once you have the experience of travel, yes, you will have the memories, but you have this other confidence that comes with it because you were able to be somewhere that was outside of your comfort zone, step into it and fully, immerse to have a different experience. And for them, when they return home, they're going to see that their awareness is going to be different about themselves, like learning to really listen to themselves. And that took place through their process of them traveling. And, you know, as Sandy mentioned, you know, that they can go out and either, you know, join a new network group or, you know, do something that they've been putting on hold. Just do it. Just get out there and do it. There is no right or wrong. You know, they always say, you know, fail fast. I don't like to say it as fail because it's always given as a negative, but I want them to practice fast. Keep practicing until they get what they really want. They'll fine tune it as they go along. And they'll know when they get there, they just have to learn to follow their intuition. And that's where the empowerment and the connection and the awareness comes.
I love that. And I also believe in learning lessons too, right? Yes. It's not exactly like failing, quote unquote, but it's also learning lessons, right? Like what were your wins and what are learning lessons? And it does not mean failure. It does not mean anything negative. It should just mean, okay, I made a mistake, right? Or I'm learning and here's how I can correct it and make it better. So I absolutely love that. And ladies, I never like to wrap these up, but Sandy, Anna, the two of you have been absolutely wonderful. I loved learning about your backgrounds, some of your hiccups, what made you even start to Peacock's Travel, and really just some of the things you're doing to give back and support local people is just really wonderful. It's so enlightening and inspiring. And I hope anybody who does any of your trips, I just hope that they feel exactly how you explain, because that sounds incredible. And I love that you mix travel, but you mix self-care and a little bit of spice and everything nice in between. So I absolutely love that. I'd love for the two of you to just shamelessly plug away website, social media, and most importantly, how can people book an amazing group tour with you?
So you can follow us on Instagram at 2peacockstravel, and that's 2_peacocks_travel. And you can follow us on our website, and that's www.2peacockstravel.com. And there's a link also in our Instagram that will take you to Linktree, where it has the website where you can book directly for your trip.
Amazing. Again, thank you so much, ladies, for coming on. And it was wonderful to meet you both and learn more about 2peacockstravel.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning into Travel Experiences Reimagined podcast. Click the subscribe button to learn about a new tour guide or host each week, where you'll find out more about how they got started, talking in detail about their experience, and any fun facts or tips that they'd like to share. Do you have an experience that you would like others to learn about, whether it is a tour, excursion, adventure, or experience? Fill out our form online on our website at www.travelexperiencesreimagined.com for a chance to share your story and experience so others can learn more about what you have to offer.